Thank you. Keelan, could we please move to time certain item number 32, please?
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement between the Office of Management and Finance, the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Prosper Portland to pilot the administration of the Community Opportunities and Enhancements Program.
Colleagues, this item authorizes an intergovernmental agreement between the Office of Management and Finance, the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Prosper Portland for the administration of the first phase of the Community Opportunities and Enhancement Program, sometimes referred to as COEP. Colleagues, before we begin, I'd like to introduce an amendment to replace the original ordinance and IGA with the substitute, which all of you have before you. The substitute changes the title of the ordinance and the intergovernmental agreement to note that this is the administration phase one of the COEP program. It also revises the section related to administrative compensation for Prosper Portland's work, reducing the overall fee to align with similar programming. Can I get a motion, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. The substitute's on the table. Before I move on, Keelan, call the roll.
Fritz. Commissioner Fritz.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
New Daly.
Aye.
Mueller.
Aye. Substitutes on the table. In November of 2017, the Council directed the Office of Management and Finance and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to develop the Community Opportunities and Enhancement Program, which would collect 1% of hard construction costs on each city public improvement construction contract to increase the equity and diversity of the workforce and contracting in the construction trades. In the calendar year 2018, the Office of Management and Finance and the Office of Equity and Human Rights started to develop the program and initiated a request for grant applications for the funds from the three pilot projects, which were the Portland Building Renovation Project, the Washington Park Reservoirs Improvement Project, and the Portland Bureau of Transportation 10th and Yamhill Garage Renovation Project. Following receipt of the grant proposals, my office directed the Office of Management and Finance and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to halt the process, cancel the solicitation, and start to work with Prosper Portland to develop the program in partnership. The agreement that's before us today is the result of a lot of hard work on the part of staff in the city and Prosper Portland and others, and it allows the initial tranche of project funds to be dispersed to the community while the city and Prosper continue to work on administrative rules and city code. Tom Reinhart, the Chief Executive Officer, will kick off our conversation today. Good afternoon, or good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Tom Reinhart. I'm proud to be the Chief Administrative Officer here at City of Portland. Mayor gave me a promotion without any consultation there to a different title.
But I just read the talk.
I am the CAO.
you shouldn't let it go to your head. I just read what they give me.
It's been a week, so I'm happy to get a little affirmation of the good work we are doing. I'm pleased to be joined today by my colleagues, Dr. Markeisha Smith, Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Kimberly Branham, Director of Prosper Portland. We are asking two things of you today as our council. First, we are asking you to authorize an intergovernmental agreement between the Office of Management and Finance, Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Prosper Portland to administer phase one of what will be the Community Opportunities and Enhancements Program. That's the first step. Second, we're also asking you to authorize the Office of Management and Finance to utilize funds from the Water Bureau Washington Park Reservoirs Improvement Project to support this first phase of the program development. As you will see in the presentation, we have other funds, but we need specific approval for you on the Washington Park funds. I direct your attention to slide two. The COEP, as we call it, the Community Opportunities and Enhancements Program, is part of a continuum of existing contracting equity initiative for social equity and contracting. We have worked with your teams to make broad strides in how we are clear about this continuum. We still have work to do. We have a lot of efforts since 2010 and the disparity study the city has implemented to tackle social equity and contracting in a variety of ways. And you will see from the slide the specific construction contracting dollar thresholds that trigger each equity strategy. We are excited that in the last year and a half that we've been working on this arduous task together, that we're doing a better job coordinating and building greater cohesion between the Prime Contractor Development Program, COEP, and specifically funding for small business support and training. We still have work to do, as we have told all of you individually, but we think this is a big step in the right direction. COEP will also increase outreach and integration with sustainability and construction efforts via proximity to what you heard in the previous presentation, what we call the COBID contracting community, and via our oversight committee. We will work very hard to have an integrated and cohesive messaging for all the social equity and contracting initiatives, and our partners at Prosper have been doing a good job helping us with that. Shared data integration and analysis will occur to ensure that overall procurement is meeting desired community level outcomes. Commissioner Hardesty has been very consistent in terms of the need to improve in that area. We also have the ability in this program to align with what you have heard as called the C2P2, our regional partnership, through shared trainings, outreach strategies, and ongoing improvements. The funding for this program has two main areas of focus. We want to walk you through it quickly. Employment, training, and retention of people of color and women in the construction trades. We need to diversify and grow the workforce. Construction and trade jobs provide a pathway to higher earnings and opportunities to advance in our society, as we all know. Ultimately, greater economic success for more people in our community, particularly people that have not had this opportunity in the past. The growth of minority women and disadvantaged construction business enterprises is critical to our ability to complete public construction projects on time and on budget, and generally to our success as a city in a number of our goals. If we are supporting these small companies so they can grow and compete, they provide employment, they provide needed services, a diversity of skills and approaches, and in many other ways enrich our city. Ultimately, this is about equity. Access to public contracting opportunities means more economic success for our entire community, and with this, we clearly are emphasizing and working to ensure that success reaches everyone. In the diagram that you see here on slide 4, you will see how the 1% funding reserved with the three CBAs, community benefit agreements, to address the alphabet soup that was referred to earlier, community benefit agreements, on the Washington Park, Yamhill Garage, and the Portland Building will be used to support workforce and businesses. The workforce support, funding, training, and retention will help the community to meet the demand. The COBID, or as you know, Certification Office for Business Inclusion and Diversity, business support will also assist with meeting demand for both general construction firms and those entering into specialty trades. Statistically, these COBID firms are small and many are family-owned run enterprises. Their growth increases our community capacity to deliver on development, to employ people, and to generate wealth in segments of our community that, as I mentioned, have been historically left out of the construction industry. Finally, the budget. Budget for phase one is $2.23 million, as you see on the slide. It comes from three existing projects that, as I referred to, each set aside funds for workforce and business technical assistance. I want to talk very clearly about administrative costs. As you'll see on this, they are currently in phase one at 11%, too high. And I want to address that because I know we will have questions on that. We briefed each of you and your teams that we anticipated the denominator, the actual aggregate funds available for this program, would be much bigger for a variety of reasons, mostly legal, in terms of what we can access to calculate the 1%. The denominator is much smaller. Therefore, in phase one, the numerator and denominator combined gets us an administrative cost that's higher than we want. I want to thank the folks at Prosper Portland that drove down their costs. I want to point out that we solved a budget problem last year with the Prime Contractor Development Program by putting it as a part of the COEP budget. That was in conversation with you and your teams. That has made the numerator in this equation higher. We think we're going to have to do something about that to drive down this 11% cost. But I wanted you to know we recognize that that is too high as an ongoing cost, and we'll work on that together. I also want to recognize that Work Systems is leveraging other funds to implement and will not be taking any administrative fees from this agreement. So everybody is on board that we have to drive down that cost. Once we finalize the administrative rules, we'll be able to provide more clarity on future projected budgets, but we do know that projections are less than we originally anticipated due to what I mentioned, restrictions on bond-funded projects and the law. Before I hand it over to Dr. Smith, I want to do a couple quick thank yous. This has been a very challenging process, and we have tapped folks who with already overloaded work plans and really worked to bring all the talented people to the table to resolve this. I want to thank Kathy Sherrick, the program manager for the COEP. I think Kathy's in the room. Thank you, Kathy. Judith Mowry from the Office of Equity and Human Rights, Paul Stewart and Shoshana Oppenheim from my team at OMF, Katie Shifley and Michelle Rubin from the Budget Office, Molly Washington and Karen Moynihan from the City Attorney's Office, Mike Sturr, our Water Bureau Director, and from Prosper Portland, a big thanks to Morgan Masterman, Tori Campbell, and John Wasserman, who I think are all here today. So with that, I want to pass it over to Dr. Smith, unless we want to take questions right away.
RSD has a question.
Thank you. Tom, I'm assuming if I'm going to ask financial questions, you're the one I should be asking those of. So before you...
If I don't know them, I will call somebody up.
I knew that would be your answer. I guess my first question is, of course, I share the goal of getting the dollars out the door. Having said that, to where? And what's the process? And who makes that decision? So that's one question. The other question really has to do with the Oversight Committee. I think about it, how we put together the Portland Clean Energy Fund Oversight Committee. We were very intentional about not having people on a committee that would financially benefit from that committee. And I was surprised, A, to find out you had a committee, and then B, you were using a committee that already exists. So I'm not sure who's the right one to answer that question. And I want to reaffirm that Work Systems, Inc. is going to add value and not take administrative costs ever under this IGA, unless you come back to the City Council.
I want to make the suggestion that we do more of the presentation, because I think at least two of those questions will be answered. Can I get your forbearance on that, Commissioner?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so without objection, we'll let you finish the presentation right. So people could write
Well, we've notes. Noted those. We'll make sure we answer those.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If I don't get them out, I lose them. I'm old.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm the same way.
Dr. Smith.
All right, good morning. So before I share the information that you see before you on the slide, I just wanted to remind us about the foundation of this work. It's no secret that we function within systems of oppression. These systems were designed for and function for specific groups of people in this country. And our job is to break down systemic barriers which have excluded, in this particular context, people of color and women from access to opportunities in the construction arena, ranging from job training to business ownership. We have to replace these systems with ones that provide space for voices that are absent and not take that as an opportunity to speak for others, but rather creating space for communities to advocate for themselves. And I do not want us to forget that despite our best efforts to make this work situated in equity through words on various documents, it means very little, and our system will continue to exclude if we are not dedicated and committed in word and action to centering opportunities for communities who have not historically been centered. So I'll step off that little box and now go to the preparation of the slides. So the IGA aligns with our citywide racial equity goals, and we can see equity goal number 1 and 5 here on the slide, slide number 7. The IGA exemplifies partnership with other institutions and communities. Support for firms owned by people of color and women will build capacity to compete, and in turn, if we are actively using the CEP, those same firms will now have access to that competitive opportunity. Eliminating disparities reveals real systems change. Accessible, no-cost training, child care, and individual support on the job site are all examples of strategies that mean success or failure for a person of color or a woman who might be struggling. We strengthen equity work when we connect and we coordinate. Procurements, equity, and construction programs will be aligned with the COEP. And through the implementation of the grants and evaluation, we'll be able to see equity outcomes. Who is benefiting from these resources? And to speak to the sense of urgency, change is our priority, and the community has been waiting. This IGA is a clear, concrete example of addressing that priority. And now, I'm going to transition to Kimberly.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners.
So at a high level, the IGA articulates a time frame and the level of resources and the roles and responsibilities. So hopefully some of this slide will be responsive to Commissioner Hardesty's questions. Excuse me. The 18-month term of the IGA allows us to go through a competitive grant process. Sorry, guys. And issue initial grants for 1 year. So in that time period, Commissioner, Work Systems will not take any administrative funds. At the end of the grant period, we can look at what's happened. We anticipate coming back to City Council with an articulation of what worked, what didn't work, what are the outcomes, what have we learned before going into a potential future IGA. So that's just one of one on the administrative. The IGA also defines roles and responsibilities. So at a high level, Tom and his team, so OMF's role is to develop the annual budget, coordinate the infrastructure bureaus, and provide project forecasts to support the Community Equity and Inclusion Committee, and to monitor the IGA and Prosper Portland's performance. The role of the Office of Equity is to provide guidance and technical assistance to OMF, Prosper Portland, and the CEIC, applying an equity lens throughout the program development and implementation to ensure that the program meets its objectives. And so Prosper Portland's role includes developing the grant program, leading a transparent and equitable solicitation process, implementing and monitoring grant agreements with service providers, including a grant to Work Systems, who would manage the workforce assistance component, collecting and synthesizing outcome data for the city, and integrating providers into the Inclusive Business Resource Network learning community. Next slide.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Please.
Kimberly, are we recreating a infrastructure system for grant awards?
So we currently, Prosper Portland currently administers $3.5 million on behalf of the city as the city's economic development agency for the Inclusive Business Resource Network, which is the program that we brought to you. And
at the end of the year.
Yes, at the end of the year. So we posit that we are leveraging a very highly functional program. There is grant administration, but it is more than just administering grants. There's also a community of practice. There is a, we have a system that manages performance outcomes in a particular way. And we have staff who are really expert in supporting small businesses and making sure that we are accountable to small businesses. So we have a way that we, as we mentioned, check in with each of the small businesses. And I think you are leveraging through this the expertise of Prosper Portland and our staff in order to administer small business technical assistance grants. So if the IGA is approved, as I mentioned, we would leverage the capacity for those who didn't hear the presentation in December about the Inclusive Business Resource Network. We have 14 community partners that serve approximately 1,000 local businesses a year, 70% of whom identify as people of color. And Work Systems, Inc. will apply their expertise and capacity in administering workforce development partnerships. This is in line with how we administer or how we manage the economic opportunity program in partnership with Work Systems. And collectively, through these existing programs, Work Systems and Prosper Portland have built relationships and networks which we convene regularly through multiple communities of practice. These systems broaden access to critical wraparound services like legal support, tax and bookkeeping support, rent assistance, childcare, and other supportive services. So for example, if you are a business that is within the Inclusive Business Resource Network, you have priority access to the Small Business Legal Clinic, who we fund through that network. That would be the case for businesses within the community, within the COEP program.
Do you see the construction industry as being different than the other small businesses that Prosper has expertise in supporting? And if so, what's the primary difference?
It's a great question. I think we have technical assistance providers who have deep expertise in different industries. So Hacienda, for example, has a lot of expertise in food, given their work with Micromercantes programs. New Leaf has a lot of depth of expertise in supporting cannabis providers. So as we look for this, we would be looking for providers who have expertise in construction and contracting. Excuse me. But there are some things that are similar for any business. Everybody needs to know how to do accounting. Yeah, sorry. I have a little girl here. I have some. Sorry. Every business needs to know how to do marketing, how to have online presence, how to do payroll, how to manage healthcare. So there are some things that we have found by creating a full network, and particularly having businesses that can be supported at micro stage all the way to growth stage, that there's a peer-to-peer component that happens that benefits the individual businesses.
And one last question before
Please.
We finish, because I know you probably have more to share. When I think of the work that the City of Portland has done in the past around pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship mm-hmm. programs, mm-hmm. we're really, really good at getting people in pre-apprenticeships. mm-hmm. We're okay at getting people into apprenticeships.
Yeah.
And we really are not good at all in getting people into journeyman status. How will these funds have an impact on the outcomes that we yeah. say we want?
So I think as we do the program development, both on the business technical assistance and on the workforce development, one of the things that we're doing in engaging with the regional workforce system is acknowledging that there are insufficient, but there are a number of resources which support pre-apprenticeship programs. So we can add to that pie, but that is something that we can leverage. There are not many programs that really support people in being successful in that transition from apprenticeship into journeyman status. And so I think there's been some conversations around what that might look like. Is that a mentoring program? Is that peer-to-peer? Certainly job site culture change is part of that solution, but I think we will be explicitly asking for that when Work Systems puts together the program development. That will be a key part of what is asked for from potential providers.
I can't speak for the rest of my colleagues, but I can tell you I'm very interested in the outcomes that lead to journeyman status,
yeah.
and I'm no longer interested in supporting programs that only get people through pre-apprenticeship. So
yeah.
just to put that on the record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so just to talk, the next slide covers next steps. So the most immediate next step is to develop the program guidelines so that we can release the request for proposals. Over the last 5 years, there's been substantial stakeholder outreach and focus groups reporting related to construction, workforce, and business support. So we are not intending to reinvent that wheel. There are three main themes as we look across all of the reports. The first is that technical assistance would help MW and DBE subcontractors and general contractors to be more successful. The second is that investments are needed to retain people of color and women in the trades. And the third is that additional pre-apprenticeship training program capacity is needed in order to meet the 5-year demand. So aligned with these recommendations, we anticipate possible activities would include increasing the capacity of certified pre-apprenticeship programs, removal of barriers, to participation, such as transportation and childcare, bidding and estimating support for contractors, training on city software and procedures, efforts to improve job site culture, and as I just mentioned, peer-to-peer mentoring for Black and Indigenous people of color to successfully transition from apprenticeship to journey status. The city attorney will also be working with city partners to move forward ratepayer fund validation action, which would secure a determination regarding the use of ratepayer funds in future phases of the COEP. We anticipate a request for proposals to be issued in early March, and in April and May, we will complete the RFP process, and OMF will return to City Council with the COEP administrative rules and code for your consideration. So with that,
please. So possible will be putting an RFP out in March or April.
Mm-hmm. In early March.
Mm-hmm. In early March. And what will the process be once the RFP goes out? Is there an oversight committee that's going to review the applications, mm-hmm. or is that going to be an internal PROSPER process?
So it will be a partnership. We will have both. So PROSPER will staff the committee. I don't anticipate that we will vote on the committee, but we will staff it to make sure that it's put together. We will have representation from Office of Management and Finance and OEHR. We need to see who comes in to make sure that whoever is sitting on the committee does not have a conflict of interest. But once we know who comes in, having members of the CEIC would be a priority. We'd also anticipate that there might be other fellow partners from TriMet or Metro who might be able to, in a non-biased way, participate in the selection process. So we will be putting that together.
So we would love to be, my office would love to be, to help you with that process, right. Because I think because of the long delay in getting these dollars out the door, mm-hmm. it's really important that the public has trust mm-hmm. that we are actually doing what we say we're going to do with these dollars. And so I just want to make sure that my office can assist you,
thank you.
In that process.
Appreciate that. Thank you. With that, we're happy to take questions.
I have one other question, yeah. which is the following item 33, with regard to the OMF and financing utilized funds from the Water Bureau Washington Park Reservoir Improvement towards COEP. Do you want us to read that as well and then take joint testimony?
Process question, I guess, for yes.
Yes, they were under the same time certain, and we put out one sign-up sheet for both items.
Could you please read item 33 as well, please?
Authorize the Office of Management and Finance to utilize funds from the Water Bureau Washington Park Reservoir Improvements Project in the amount of $1,120,000 to support the Community Opportunities and Enhancements Program.
Very good. And we have two panels of invited testimony?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. First panel is Rahi Reddy from Metro, Nate McCoy from the National Association of Minority Contractors, and Bernice Lopez-Dorsey from Latino Built. Good morning, and thank you for being here.
This is fun. Good to be with my friends. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler.
Good morning.
And commissioners. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Rahi Reddy, and I'm the Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Metro. I'm here to support the COEP fund plan and the efforts from the City of Portland to ensure that our region has a diverse construction workforce. I want to also give a special appreciation to Dr. Markeisha Smith, who is a tremendous colleague and ally in our work at advancing equity in the region. She's been incredibly helpful in helping us on the construction careers framework work, and to Kimberly Branham, who through PROSPER has been really foundational partners for us along with the city to really build up the program of construction careers, of which you will hear from me again in an hour. I wanted to, you know, acknowledge that we really wanted to make sure that the City of Portland was an ally and a foundational partner as we built out the work around construction careers. And in 2017, we co-funded a study looking at the public sector construction landscape of what projects were coming up. And at that time, we had 81 public projects that were slated for green-lighted to go ahead with construction throughout the region. And that alone, just those 81 projects, created a demand of 14,000 construction workers. What we also revealed in that study is the Portland region is facing an incredibly urgent labor shortage in the construction industry. And it threatens to, and that shortage was expected to worsen because we know 1 in 6 construction workers is nearing retirement. At the same time, Women and people of color are underrepresented in the industry. And the study revealed startling information about the experience of workers entering into this sector and having so many challenges and not being able to stay in. We know that all apprentices have a completion rate through their first year of apprentice at about 46%. But for women and people of color, it's 10% lower, 38% and 36% respectively. The study highlighted numerous challenges for women and people of color entering and staying in the industry, including the lack of awareness of construction careers, hostile job site culture, and daily challenges like the lack of access to transportation and childcare. Currently, our community-based organizations, many of whom are here today, and we are so grateful for their time to constantly educate us, many of whom are the lifeline for these workers, providing recruitment, preparation to enter the industry, mentorship, and ongoing access to resources to help them stay in and stabilize their families. And they do so much more. However, due to the lack of consistent funding, these organizations continue to face the cycle of limited capacity and ability to be able to provide these resources to workers. So funding like the COAP is critical, and these strategic investments will increase our ability to provide stable capacity for these organizations. I also encourage you, as you move forward with this program, to make sure that we're investing with a racial equity lens, which means we disaggregate by race. We look at the specific barriers for individual communities and really address those programmatic elements to the specifics of what these communities face. And we urge you to join us at Metro and coordinate investments so we can do that together and to provide those investments not only for the workforce organizations, but for the community-based organizations that are really on the front line in these neighborhoods. So I think, you know, we have also, as part of this process, in our construction careers work, we have reached out to numerous of our allies and friends in our contracting associations, so like NAMAC and PBDG, and we heard from them. What would it take to help support your efforts to support the diverse workers in your firms? And we heard again that that there is a commitment to diversify their workforce, especially among our co-bid contractors, but organizations like our public sector agencies, like Metro and the city, must provide consistent funding to help support their ability to do that and to provide not only consistent policies and practices, but also the resources. And we support the element of this program that will support these minority contractors as well. So again, I want to thank you for your commitment and your energy toward this goal, and I look forward to more partnership in the future.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Good morning, Commissioner Hardison.
Thank you. Before you start, Nate, I just want to say you just are doing such a remarkable job at Metro, and it is such a model of collaboration and really intentionality, and I just want to publicly thank you for all the incredible work that you've done to get us to this point.
I appreciate Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Commissioners, thanks for having me here today. For the record, my name is Nate McCoy. I am the executive director of the Oregon chapter of the National Association of Minority Contractors. As we've said already, it takes collaboration to build the village and to grow the village. And I think this is a great first step in the directions of creating and sustaining a program that can resource the community of contractors as well as diversify the workforce in the construction industries. What I wanted to really just kind of pause on and just reflect on the actual term, Community Opportunity Enhancement Program. I love the analogy and the frame, but I think enhancement's not the right word. We need to be bold. We need to be groundbreaking and precedent setting And enhancement sometimes in my mind doesn't really quite fit it, but I think it's a start. And I think as we've had this discussion today, the devil's really in the details. I think we've created both between C2P2 framework as well as the COEP and a lot of the other acronyms we just talked about a great start. I want to remind everybody that, you know, the ordinance was passed in 2017, but NAMAC honestly led this effort 10 years ago. I could say that we sat down with our former mayor, Charlie Hills, when he was the mayor, and talked about the need for a regional framework. Metro was a partner at the table discussing this, ODOT, TriMet. You know, the infrastructure as well as the building of buildings is key, because this city is growing, and certainly we want to see these contractors in this workforce pipeline grow. What I wanted to acknowledge was something said earlier. You know, we want to make sure, like the Portland Clean Energy Fund, that we don't allow folks to hijack the process, and for there to be dollars spent with agencies or government agencies that takes away from the community who really is honestly doing the real work in partnership with the government agencies. So I appreciate some of the earlier comments by you, Commissioner Hardesty, that really gets at that concept, which we all want to work together. I think there's a lot of shared values between the different associations, but it comes down to one thing that I think NAMAC tries to really tackle front and center, is that we really need to equip these contractors for the wave of these projects. It hurts my heart to see that with a COVID system, we're seeing more white males and white women firms almost leapfrogging over a lot of the MBE firms that have been here for a long time, still have not found their way into public work. And not to say that those categories of folks aren't supported or shouldn't be on these projects, but when you've had companies for 20 years who've never worked for the city, who found themselves as finding barriers with lack of technical assistance, with new technologies, new equipment retrofits, and all the air admission concerns of the diesel environment, like there is a lot happening that we need to make sure that if we are really amplifying the equitable resource dollars, is that it needs to be a ratio that makes sense for both the workforce side as well as the technical assistance support side. Because I would hate to see the young youth not see minority contractors in their community because they haven't found opportunity to build their capacity. Because those owners usually hire those workers, when we talk about retention, at a higher rate than anybody in our industry. So I hope as we spend these dollars, the performance and the management of the dollars at every point, our leaders, as you guys, will weigh in to make sure that we're responsibly spending money and that we're doing a better job of marketing these industries. You know, we spend a lot of time with the schools. We're actually building some of these schools through the bonds. And you see the eyes opening of these kids, and they're like, wow, I didn't know that that was a minority contractor building a project on MLK, you know, but now I know somebody who I can touch and talk to. So I say all that to say that this is a absolutely great start. I hope we honor the people who 2 years ago did actually put in RFP and a response to dollars that certainly did not sustain them or support them. So I'm hoping there's some equitable way to get some dollars out now for those who spent the time, money, and resources to propose over a year and a half ago. So I don't quite know what that looks like right now. But if not, then I just hope that we can, you know, get these dollars up and rolling in a very streamlined and efficient way.
Thanks, Nate.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Nate. I really appreciated your testimony. I think about like 30 plus years ago when James Posey and I were on that side of the table actually talking about the same topic. One of the big issues was around insurance. Has the insurance universe changed at all? And is it better or worse for minority contractors who are trying to do government projects?
Can I ask you? Answer that?
I would say
you could train a contractor all day long, but if they can't bond the project and have that support from the insurance requirements from a legal risk factor, then they'll never get there. And what I'm prideful of is we have one of the biggest bonding program agents in Propel Insurance on our board at NAMAC, as well as NAMAC being a national organization. We've started to fly some of these national reps with some long history in Oakland, California, Philadelphia, and some very diverse cities, where they are actually now working with Metro, City of Portland through Lester, as well as Port of Portland with Kimberly Sutton, to kind of say, what can we do to be an extension of providing technical assistance, but also having these government agencies put their money where their mouth is to help sustain people getting bonded, because there's a lot of contractors out there that are still not even bonded to be on a public project.
It's amazing to me, because even when I was doing public facilitation contracts, government contracts, you needed $1 million of insurance. I thought, what am I going to do with a pencil, right? It's crazy, right? So I hope that this new process gives us an opportunity to really look at what are the real barriers to actually growing minority-owned construction businesses, and that the city can help facilitate removing those barriers, because we could keep putting people through programs, but if they can't get bonded, they can't get the jobs, and if they can't get the jobs, then they can't build a business. So
absolutely,
we're just going to be right back here and having the same conversation. I hope not 30 years from now.
Yeah.
I'll be too old to be having it then, but let's hope we fixed it by then.
So colleagues, and this is a really important line of questioning, and I appreciate it, but in our unique form of government, I also serve as the chief timekeeper for city council meetings. And I just want to note that we have another panel, time for questions, and then a number of people have signed up to testify. So I'd like to keep us moving, because we are not even on the regular agenda yet.
Yep.
All right, well, I'll be brief. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Bernice Lopez-Dorsey, and I'm here representing my small design-build general contracting firm in Southwest Portland, Home Energy Life Performance Group. I'm also here as Latino Build board member, founding member of Latino Build, a new organization. And I'm also a member of the Community Equity and Inclusion Committee. Latino Build is a trade association for Latino contractors in Oregon, founded exactly a year ago. Our organization is excited to be in the Community Opportunities and Enhancement Program, and the potential that it has to make a difference in our community, especially in the Latino community. I applied for and I was accepted to serve in the committee. We had several meetings to date to review projects and hear from City Portland project managers, as well as contractors currently working on those projects. I believe there is a lot of potential for the committee to help ensure accountability on behalf of the contractors to city policies and program requirements, as well as to help them come up with new and creative ways of attracting and retaining a diverse workforce and engaging COBIT firms, certified firms like mine. I am really, really excited to be here today to support this agreement between the City of Portland and Prosper Portland, and I will continue to volunteer my time to serve this committee and to make sure that we are all walking the talk. I am a general contractor. I have a lot of experience, and sitting on that committee makes me feel that I'm serving my community, especially the Latino community, and we have a lot of plans to creating programs that actually serve our community, specifically in the language barrier and the financial technical assistance portion of it. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you. We appreciate your being here. Thank you, all three of you. Good discussion. Next up, we have our second panel of invited testimony, Joe McFerrin from POIC, the Portland Opportunities Industrialization Center, Gail Castillo from the Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber, and Maurice Romming from O'Neill Construction. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Hi, thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners, for having us here today. I'm Maurice Romming,
with O'Neill Construction Group and Portland Business Development Group, which is a small minority and women certified contracting organization that helps to advance equity and inclusion in our city. We're here to support this measure. We feel like you have picked two great leaders with Work Systems and Prosper Portland to look at the services that they originally currently do and being able to utilize what they currently do to actually expand on making sure that women and minorities participate. For me, this is deeply personal because I'm one of those people that originally came from poverty, was able to get into a pre-apprenticeship program, was able to then turn into an apprenticeship program and then journey out and then own my own company and employ over 80 people today. And so by doing it correctly, we're able to create those pathways out of poverty. I feel like Prosper can be that backbone. I think with the city's support, aligning services, I think that Work Systems has a track record of providing services. So I look forward to you guys vote, and I look forward to the participation that the small piece that I can bring to actually help forward this movement forward. And thank you again. I'll be brief because I know you're short on time.
Thanks, Maurice. We appreciate it. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the City Council. As you know, my name is Gail Castillo. I'm the Executive Director of the Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber. Before I give my presentation, I just want to take a second and say and recognize the loss that we all have had in the passing away of Commissioner Nick Fish. He was truly a strong servant leader that we all will miss. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. You may know or may not know, the Hispanic Chamber was established, and like you, Commissioner, we've been at this for over 25 years. And it's been a very long, long road towards equity and inclusion of all of our communities. So we've been part of that struggle. The Chamber has served over 4,100 businesses over the years, providing bilingual technical services. 52% of those that we serve are Latinas, many that are head of households. So helping them establish or expand their business is critical to them and their children. Again, our mission is to support the economic advancement of Latinos in Oregon and Southwest Washington. Nationally and locally, Latino businesses are concentrated in two areas, one, services, and construction-related industries. So the discussion and the focus on construction is very, very critical. The proposed funding will help not only us, but other technical service providers to expand those services that we currently provide and allow us to continue to build the capacity of those individuals. Even though we may start businesses, as you know, the building industry is becoming more complex and the contracts are very, very large. So the contractors have to be able to, over the years, expand their capacity to take on more responsibility. And that's a learning curve and it takes time. So this is important. Just as a source of information, we have helped construction contractors over the year obtain their licenses, their permits, their certification, help them access capital, help them in their business plans, their marketing plans, helping them develop their financial statements, et cetera, helping them identify general contractors, helping them identify subcontractors, helping them identify sources of training and other resources that they need. In addition, we've also provided $2.5 million in scholarships that have helped future workers and future businesses enter the workforce. We've had a long working relationship with Prosper Portland for over 16 years. We've worked with them since 2004. We also work with a variety of other public and private sector organizations to deliver our work. We are currently part of Prosper Portland's Inclusive Business Resource Network, which is a community of more than 15 nonprofits, organizations, and they too also specialize in culturally specific and culturally responsive business support. We support having this program implemented through Prosper Portland. We feel that their experience with the community, their positive approach to this work, and their outcomes make this a good way to implement. So with that, I will say we support the program, and we support it working with Prosper Portland. Thank you.
Gail, thank you for being here today. And on a completely separate issue, I have not forgotten the conversation we had earlier. And I wanted to make a note of that since I was going to see you today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Hardesty, and Commissioner Udaly. My name is Joe McFerrin. I serve as President and CEO of Portland OIC and Rosemary Anderson Schools. For the past 52 years, POIC has provided continuous employment, workforce training, and job placement services for disenfranchised, unemployed, underemployed youth and young adults in our community. Most of the clients and customers we serve are African American. I'm here today to express my support for an agreement that is being brought before City Council, which lays out the roles of the City of Portland, Prosper Portland, and Work Systems in implementing the pilot project COEP, or known in the community as the 1% funding. POIC operates a BOLI certified pre-apprenticeship training program that helps African American and other youth and young adults of color to enter the construction trade. We are one of four BOLI certified programs who collaborate to help underrepresented populations prepare for careers in construction trades. The COEP goals are in ideal alignment with POIC's mission and so many of our public, private, and community-based organization partners. The pilot will deploy much-needed resources to diversify the industry and help us to learn about how to best move forward with the broader program. As you know, we're currently in a construction boom that we can't take for granted, and we need to act quickly to maximize this opportunity. As a workforce development program, our organization works closely with Work Systems on a variety of workforce development programs, including pre-apprenticeship training programs, working with youth and young adults that are involved with the criminal justice system, and those who are affected by homelessness. Work Systems has created a system of access to critical wraparound services that increase success for highly barrier populations, and in many cases make it possible to participate. I have a clear-cut example of that. Our second quarter, we had a young lady who was in our training program. She had a child. She was facing eviction. And obviously with the stress, it makes it difficult to fully engage in a training program, a 12-week training program that's 6 to 7 hours a day. And because of our relationship and partnership with the Home for Everyone effort, that's a partnership between the city and the county, we were able to access those services, remove that barrier, and that young lady to this day is working in the construction field. That's just one example of why this work is so important. Work Systems has the expertise and systems in place to implement this rapidly and successfully. And also, I would say, Work Systems has a track record of leveraging other funds to enhance our efforts. I have, as executive director or president of this organization, been involved with Work Systems for more than 20 years and have seen a lot of positive things happen with respect to workforce and folks that look like me. Because of time, I'll close with this. We're one of the newest certified pre-apprenticeship programs. We've only been around for just under 2 years, but we've served 51 trainees, 42 have graduated the 12-week program, and they got paid as a part of the training. They also, all of our graduates pass a drug test. 39 have been placed in jobs, and we have about a 40-60 split with respect to union versus non-union apprenticeship on apprenticeship track. Our most notable partners would be the Northwest College of Construction, the Laborers Union, O'Neill Electric, ABC HVAC, J.E. Dunn Construction, Anderson, Hoffman, Colas, IABW, and NAMAC. And again, I would just say that I can appreciate, too, the questions around accountability for the outcomes for this particular project. And I look forward to demonstrating with my partners that we can get folks who have not been exposed to this industry all the way through the pipeline and on to Journey. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Very good. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Joe, Gail, Maurice, thank you for being here today. Any questions, colleagues, before we move to public testimony from either staff or from myself? Very good. How many people do we have signed up, Keelan?
We have 12 people signed up.
Very good. And if we could keep it at 2 minutes each, please, I'd appreciate it very much. First three, please.
Mercedes, Elizalde, Charles, Bridge Crane, Johnson, and Maggie.
Thank you. Would you like to start, please?
Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. Thank you and everybody involved to bring this awesome group to the table. But what matters is how well we listen to them in the future and what can happen to remove any roadblocks for success of this program. I'm glad to see that C2P2 is actually findable on the web when we say that. I forget what it means, but we're going to get it refreshed for us a few times. One thing that's sidebar significant to note is that it looks like this is just an IGA between the city and only what used to be PDC. Some of our intergovernmental agreements are with separately constitutionally empowered organizations. There's no reason for Prosper Portland to fail because the entire leadership of Prosper Portland is appointed by the city council. So it's a very close intergovernmental agreement, and I hope that in addition to the other IGAs that exist with Metro, this might be dockable so that Metro and TriMet get fully involved in this conversation and broadening the opportunities that are available for people who have been excluded for so long. There's, you know, great people, and I'm just worried that because of the length of time that Commissioner Hardesty and others have mentioned that we've been working on this, that some pieces aren't missing. And I'm just a white-appearing, white-presenting gay dude up here, and what can I say? I can say that when I worship at Shir Tikva or Congregation Beth Israel, my community has a responsibility in this. At one time, Vera Katz sat in that seat. Part of the reason that Joanne Hardesty got 150,000 people to vote her into that seat is she had a very constructive conversation with Dan Saltzman. So the seat where Dan sat and the seat where Vera sat, those seats need to be used to bring in the Menashe family and the Schnitzer family to talk and have face-to-face conversations, because people like to deal with people that they have some pre-existing relationship with.
Oh, so Charles, you just got in under the buzzer. I was like, you were veering off topic there, but your time is now up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maggie.
Thank your office for the coffee for me. And I would like to talk about the last
Maggie, who came up here.
Maggie Portland, homeless down hall. The last dude that came up and talked about the homelessness part of the equity, I didn't hear anyone talking about the homelessness part of the equity until this last dude came up over here. And I would like to say that if we're using city, state, county, federal money, I would like to see a crew of 10 homeless carts and have a crew manager and have every
Maggie, I have the privilege today of reminding you to speak on topic.
Okay, this has to do with increasing the equity.
Is this about construction contracts?
Yes, because you can go to these construction sites with these little carts.
We're not going to have that conversation today. Do you support the proposal on the table, yes or no?
Increased equity, always.
Okay.
But let's not leave the homeless people out of the, equation, and we are.
We're not. Thank you, Maggie.
And we
I appreciate
are.
Your testimony. Thank you very much. We're not. Honest, we're not.
Who else has signed up to testify? Call the next three.
The next three, Liesl Waymuller, Surya Joshi, and Tim Finnegan.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Pleasure. You can start. Sure. My name is Liesl Waymuller. I'm here with the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, IRCO.
Can you feel free to move that closer?
Sure.
Can
you hear me?
The mic
okay. And to start off with, we would just like to, on behalf of IRCO, mourn the loss of Nick Fish, who was a great ally and supporter of IRCO's mission and values. IRCO provides low-income families with on-ramps to sustainability through skilled workforce training and job placement, including careers like construction that have family wage jobs. IRCO has partnered with Work Systems on a variety of programs and currently has 6 workforce development programs, including Summer Works, a Home for Everyone, Economic Opportunity Program, which are serving homeless populations. And as the local workforce board, Work Systems has focused on growing industries in the region, ensuring that their contractors have a network of support and oversight, technical assistance, data tracking and reporting, and service delivery network. So we think that the COEP is in a great position to utilize that network and those services that Work Systems has already provided, including some industry-specific programs that are already utilizing peer mentorships and industry mentorships, which you spoke a little bit to on getting people in through the journeyman level, which you know can take 4 to 5 years, if not more. And the great thing about the program model that we are utilizing through the system of the network that Work Systems has provided is that we are serving participants from 1 year to 3 years. And I think on a program scale, that capacity could be grown to serve participants through the 5-year goal of journeyman level. We also just appreciate that we have a unified reporting and tracking system that Work Systems has gathered a professional development network and resource networking called the Aligned Partner Network, which provides all of us partners with opportunities to grow and develop our direct service staff. So with that experience and system in place, the COEP programming network would be a great addition to our variety of services, specifically focusing on industries in need. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tim Finnegan. I'm the Workforce Development Director at Southeast Works, and I'm here representing the Southeast Works Board of Directors.
Thank you.
And management today on behalf of the COEP initiative. Since 1997, Southeast Works' mission is to strengthen the economic health and well-being of our diverse Portland community by facilitating successful connections between job seekers and employers. We seek to disrupt poverty by working with and empowering individuals to reach their full potential through coaching, training, education, and employment. We serve a diverse population, including but not limited to people of color, women, youth, immigrants, LGBTQ, and individuals with prior justice involvement. In 2018-19, about 50% of the nearly 5,500 individuals that registered through our center self-identified as low-income individuals. The COEP program matches well with the work that we already do and the populations that we already serve. By providing opportunities for women and people of color to gain entry into the construction industry, we'll be able to make a positive impact on the current and long-term economic health of individuals, families, and communities. Since 2006, our organization has collaborated closely with Work Systems to deliver workforce services through a variety of training and employment programs, serving a broad and diverse population across the Portland metro region. As the local workforce board, Work Systems manages over 40 different workforce development grant sources and incorporates them into a single system of contracts, oversight, technical assistance, data tracking and reporting, and service delivery network. COEP is best positioned and most effectively implemented in connection with this already established public framework. WorkSystems has the expertise and systems in place to implement this rapidly and successfully, develop a comprehensive and successful new program, and expand the program and its services over time through additional resources and partnerships. Southeast Works supports this initiative. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner. My name is Surya Joshi. I'm a program coordinator for one of the UOP program at ERCO. I would like to go directly to Commissioner Hardesty question about why cannot people get into journeyman status, because I have this privilege to work with an individual who is getting into journeyman status soon because of the support that UOP program at ERCO has done, and then it has come after also collaborating with IRBN network. We collaborated with Division Midway Alliance to find a minority contractor, a Raymore construction company, to find him a job. But what entails during apprenticeship program is that a participant have to go through a lot of ups and downs, because the participant that we work with, immigrant, refugees, and people of color, do not have asset for the layoff period, you know, when they have layoff in the when the construction work ends and then they are laid off. They don't know how to apply for unemployment benefits, and unions are like incredibly like administrative bodies as well, so it's very hard to navigate those process. So we work on career coaching model so that a participant have a person to talk with to get some emotional support. We are always trained through Align partner network that WorkSystem have employed to kind of a professional development for the career coaches. So I work with this person, this participant, and helped him get into a position where he feels secure, and then it involved a lot of emotional support, a lot of times where he was crying. His family members didn't have insurance because now his income went up and then there is no insurance, so we had to talk with the contractor, which was specifically for benefit. So I think regarding all of these circumstances, I guess this program COEP is something that we will need in our community.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Kelly Kupchak, Michael Birch, Pat Daniels.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Michael, would you start for us, please? Because you were slow. That was my
I was trying to go last.
No, I saw what was going on.
You saw the drag. So, good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. It's a pleasure to be here. And I want to thank you for your support of the C2P2. I want to thank you in particular. You know that. Construction Careers Pathways Program.
Thank you.
I mean, the regional effort is important. We've been at this work, I think Nate said, 20-some-odd years. Mm. I've been in your offices for at least 15 years, you know, trying to support this effort. So I'm really delighted that you're on board with it. I'd like to say it's a huge step forward for the city, for Prosper, for WorkSystems, the community, businesses, and contractors, minority contractors especially. I'm looking forward to a coordinated effort with other government agencies, construction career programs, and I really am interested in the accountability piece, which you pointed out earlier. Thank you for that, Commissioner. It's a critical move on your part to move the dial around diversity and equity in the construction trades. We have 39% minorities, 10% women. Only 6% of that minority number is African Americans. Continuity of opportunity is what's going to get them into the industry and support their ongoing participation in apprenticeship and journeying out. We recognize the problem with our industry, and we've created programs to support minorities and women, single heads of households, not just women, but men. So what I'm interested in is seeing this move forward with the money going out to the people that are supporting these folks in the community. And I'm really interested in seeing this, the city and Prosper and other municipalities support the policies and not the politics. We need to move forward, and this is a great step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners Hardesty and Udaly. My name is Kelly Kupchuk, and I have the privilege to be the Executive Director of Oregon Tradeswomen. We recently turned 30 years old. Unfortunately, I'm not anymore. But we have been doing this work for a long time, too, in terms of advocating for equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I do want to say very quickly thank you to your team, Mayor Wheeler, because this is hard work. It takes a lot to collaborate and coordinate, and I want to thank Commissioners Udaly and Hardesty for ensuring that there's been accountability along the way and helping persevere to get us to this point. We support and appreciate the IGA with Prosper, Kimberly's team, all the work they have done, and certainly with Work Systems, who brings a lot of expertise to the table, and through their ability to leverage state funds and federal workforce funds, have really helped to help those of us who are certified pre-apprenticeship programs to collaborate and coordinate our efforts and see change in the workforce. And I just want to say quickly as well that Commissioner Hardesty, your question around getting to journeyman status is really critical, because we work really hard and believe that it is not just about getting in, but it is about successfully completing and being able to not just have a job, but a career. We serve a significant portion of the community that are low income and very low income, the women that we serve, and it really is an opportunity for public investment to help lead folks out of poverty and into prosperity. So thank you for your leadership. Thank you for this work, and we look forward to Portland being a model. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all your help.
Good morning, Commissioner Wheeler. I mean, I'm sorry. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler.
Hey, you works just fine. Hey, you works.
All right. So, but no. Good morning.
Morning.
Mayor and commissioners. I'd like to reiterate everything that they said. And just moving forward, I'm the Executive Director of Constructing Hope Pre-Apprenticeship Training Program. We have been Constructing Hope since 2009, and we target minority low-income community. Oh, my name is Pat Daniels. So, but today, I just wanted to let you know that the work that Constructing Hope is doing and what this process will do for us, a lot of times when you look at, we're community-based organizations, our funding comes from grants and contracts. In order for us to do this work, we have to have a sustainable funding source. This process will allow us to leverage the funds that we have in working with Work Systems. The work that we're doing with Work Systems as Constructing Hope is working with 100% low income. We target minorities, and the minorities that we're targeting are those that are most missing from the trades. It's African American men, Native American men, and Asian men. Everyone in our program is 100% low income. So the work that we're doing requires additional funds in order for these people to move from apprenticeship to journeyman level. That's not funded through our grant cycles. Grants are 1 year at a time. So we're running in this little cage trying to fund this process. And the demand is great. In order for us to do this work, we must have a mechanism like C2P2 with a regional approach in order that we are not up and down in our funding. If we have a consistent source of funding, we can actually move this low-income community, our minority people, from a level of apprenticeship to journeyman. I'd like to just let you know that since Constructing Hope has been in existence, we have 8 people that have become contractors, and those are minority men. So I do know that this process worked with their right amount of funding and support.
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Next three, please.
Bahia Overton, D. White, and James Posey, and those are the final.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Posey, would you like to go first, please?
What would you like for me to be? Okay. All right. Thank you all, Mayor, commissioners. I'd just like to make a suggestion that I want to say I really agree with the program, the 1% program. But I want to make note that the ARCH program is 2%. 2%. And we're talking about an economic piece to serve our community and the arts program is 2%. Fortunately, I don't have to pay it because when you get 70 plus, you don't have to pay that. They exempt you from that. But we're talking 1%. What about the 99%? I just want to make that clear that, as Nate was saying, it's a good start. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that this is a good start. Decade after decade, all the way back to Bud Clark and beyond. So I don't want us to get all pumped up at 1% when really we have so much more to do. Then, Commissioner Hardesty, I want to thank you for what you said about the journey versus the apprenticeship. Because as I mentioned to our mayor several years back, what we are practicing is economic apartheid. Let me say that again. Economic apartheid. When we have these unions who decade after decade have less than 1% of people that look like me in it, it's economic apartheid. We can take a lesson from South Africa and divest in those organizations that continue to do what they do and get away with it. I have much more to say, but I just want to say that Gail was here. She talked about Hispanics. Out of all those groups, blacks are at the very bottom of every one of these categories. We're the one that brought this horse to the stable, and we're the last one to ride the horse. All right, I'll let that go.
Thank you, Mr. Posey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Bahia Overton. I'm the newly appointed Executive Director of the Black Parent Initiative.
Congratulations.
Thank you. As you know, we serve children and families, primarily African and African American families, and we support their financial, educational, and social, emotional, spiritual well-being and success. Our career coach is working really, really hard to support our families in sustaining their employment, but I just wanted to testify today to say that I hope that the program, the COEP program, also thinks comprehensively around what it takes to create sustainable employment in any of these areas. And I think you need to think about historical serial forced displacement of our communities. We're all over the place. We're not concentrated anymore. And because of that, we have housing and mental health issues that prevent you from being able to engage in a program like this and be sustained in it. And so I think when we think about equity, we have to think about also the fallout from all of the practices, historical practices that have put our communities where they are. So yes, we love the opportunities. This is wonderful when you think about all of this, the culturally affirming and sustaining practices that need to go into making sure that we can have a seat at the table and be sustained through this process so that we can enjoy these construction careers. But you can't do that if you have food insecurity, housing insecurity. And the fact that you're consistently being displaced in this community makes it more difficult. So, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My name is Dee White, and I'm probably not going to make much sense because I had no preparation on this, but I just wanted to say that I am in total support of all of y'all, Mr. Posey, the equity, diversity, and inclusion, the program, is 1% is not enough, and y'all have a lot of work to do, and I'm really in favor of moving ahead now with this, all these programs. My problem is that you're setting up another layer of bureaucracy to administer these funds, and you're pulling it out of the Water Bureau and where the funding's coming from. You're setting up a whole other bureaucracy with Portland Development Commission involved and to administer the funds, and I don't understand why you need to do that. Of course, I do understand because you need to, you know, keep the city running. But Portland Water Bureau has an equity manager. Procurement has an equity manager. Why can't y'all administer this program via them? Because it's just ridiculous to put in another layer of bureaucracy. It's just taking money away from the programs that y'all are trying to implement. Why isn't DES involved? They're an infrastructure agency. Why aren't they involved? Well, I can tell you why. You're walking on shaky ground, pulling money out of the Water Bureau and putting it in another bureaucracy. No wonder you don't flinch an eye when the Washington Park cost increased by 3 times after y'all make your vote. And this filtration plant, that's all the more money that y'all can pull out to fund these programs. Meanwhile, our water bills, all of us are paying the same amount of money for our water. Our water rates are going to go way up. It's a regressive thing. All of us, low income, all of us are paying the same amount.
Great. Thank you. Does that complete testimony?
Yes.
All right.